I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Given Baltimore's harbor has these frigid waters, fast-moving tides, and now these huge pieces of steel and concrete submerged in the water, I mean, how massive is this undertaking?
It's going to be huge. It's going to take quite a while for the divers to cover the entire area as thoroughly as they feel like they need to. Even with the new methods and techniques with side scan sonar, most of the dive recovery is going to be tactile. It's going to be with the divers swimming inch by inch along that concrete and steel debris that's on the bottom.
There's no way to really understand how difficult that is going to be to recover. And that's where we are, is obviously recovering of bodies from that tragedy in Baltimore. Now, again, we're looking at, by grace, we didn't have more under threat. And when some of the steel decking from the bridge came down, some of the containers on board the ship were cracked open. And apparently some carrying, quote, hazardous material because they're seeing a sheen on the water. That doesn't mean if it's oil, gas, or something else, but if it's got an oil base, it's going to be floating above the water. What exactly it is, they'll have to determine and what they can do to seal it up. But right now, they're still trying to go inch by inch under that water and under the massive amount of bridge structure that fell into the water, trying to determine how many are down here and if we could find all of them. Godspeed. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, hour number two of Larry Connors USA. And, of course, if you missed the first hour, everything does go up as a podcast when we're finished. LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And we're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you also that when we're on the air, we are streaming video. News Talk STL Rumble, that's one of the big channels. News Talk STL Facebook, News Talk STL Twitter. And also Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And always, if you can't hear everything in total, or you want to go back and listen to it, or more importantly, in addition to just you listening to it, you end up sharing with others, we would certainly appreciate it, because then we're helping get the message out to even more. Station's got two great FM signals, and of course an app, absolutely free, costs you nothing. NewsTalkSTL.com or NewsTalkSTL Facebook, you're going to find how to link up to it. And it's always on a daily basis on Larry Connors USA Facebook and even on my personal page. I want to explain something to you very quickly about this app. A lot of people are beginning to understand if they want to travel somewhere and they want to stay up with the program, well, the signals are great for the FM stations we have, but at some point it's going to be breaking up or you're going to be totally out of range. But stations no longer need a 50,000-watt or 100,000-watt blowtorch tower. The app, it's everything on your phone. Just download it for free. And you're in your car, even rather than listening via the radio, because there will be static even on FM, fade in, fade out. Just hook up your Bluetooth to your Bluetooth operation in your car. Play it right through your car speaker. I got to tell you, it's a perfect way to do it. And again, you, by the same way, can always pull up previous programs and listen while driving in your car to something we did previously. So I hope that you take advantage of that. We have a lot of folks that are just kind of getting around to the value of it, but it is extremely big value. Let me talk politics for a moment because I want to go into a more expanded version in this first segment about politics. Joe Biden had a fundraiser with Obama and Clinton. And the campaign claims it raised a record high $25 million. That was in New York City. $25 million. That's big. Well, you got Barack Obama there, and you got Bill Clinton, and they obviously brought in some big dollar folks who could write them all out. They want to point out and make the deal that this is really big. This is really big. Better stand back. You don't know how big this is going to get. If they could raise $25 million like that, well, the hell with the Biden polling numbers. So he's in the tank. So he's losing blacks, Latinos, women, young people. But it doesn't make a difference. We got the $25 million. They're going to need to spend all of it. They're going to need that and then more. And if you want to look at the coffers of the DNC versus the RNC, right now the RNC has about half. I would imagine that's going to go up, but Donald Trump is a known commodity and a name, good or bad, depending on how you look at it. They don't have to sell him like he's something new on the scene. You don't have to sell Joe Biden like he's something new on the scene. What you have to do from their strategy level is hold things in place. Just wind him up, keep him going forward, and hopefully he remains cognitive enough to answer any question thrown at him or just read through the prompter without stumbling all over. Let me tell you something. If you're doing something live, if you've ever done a speech, and you might have stage fright, I know a lot of people have, but then once they get up there, they kind of get into it because it's a subject they know, they feel comfortable with. Maybe they adapt a philosophy that's been pushed around for many years. Just stand up there and look at the audience and just imagine all of them naked. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes you to get over your stage fright, you are able to accomplish it. But there's some people, regardless of how often they practice, how well they know the material, they're not going to do an effective job. And if you're hesitant, if you seem to be lost, if you seem to be phrasing things in such a way that are totally off the charts with understanding, you're not making any points with the audience. So they may need to hire a speech coach for Joe Biden. I'm available, by the way. And you got $25 million? I don't want all of it. I'll take half of it, and I'll be glad to train him how to do better. Larry, you would sell us out to go train Joe Biden how to speak? He's been a senator. He's been speaking all of his life. Yeah, but he's at a point now where he's got to answer some very tough questions, and he's got to sometimes shut up his mouth. And I would do the same for Donald Trump and tell Trump there are times it's best to not say what you're thinking. But the key I've been getting around to is that all of this money that they raised in this event, $25 million, yeah, in one night, one big event. That's according to the Associated Press in D.C. is the one that actually reported it, but it's been backed up in other places. But the campaign is saying that's a record haul for a political event. May well be. But it has to come and is at a time when Joe Biden has such desperate, and I use the word desperate, poll numbers. All right, well, the other day on 60 Minutes, CBS was focusing on big tech and the elections. And, of course, what was fraud, what wasn't, and who was trying to keep it all in check, and who believes it was fraud, who believes it was rigged, who believes they were doing the best to make it truly legitimate. Well, did they actually do anything that effectively prevented it?
If the laws are upheld, the platforms could be forced to carry hate speech and false medical information, the very content most big tech companies have spent years trying to remove through teams of content moderators. But in the process, conservatives claim that the companies have engaged in a conspiracy to suppress their speech.
Yeah, that is true. And we know it is. We know it is because I had Sidney Powell on at one time. She was, of course, one of the original attorneys going after the election results were not clear and effective. They were looking at filing suits. And she said, well, I'm glad you had me on. Probably be the last time because once YouTube hears it, we were on, well, they'll cancel you. Well, they didn't. And, of course, we had her back. And then they pulled the plug and added, well, actually, before we put her back on, they sent word, we noted you did this. You have her on again, and she gives her false election information. We will shut you down. Well, that's not going to stop me. Come on. But Leslie Stahl with 60 Minutes is pointing out that some of these changes are going to be very closely watching and monitoring, supposedly, what the big tech companies are doing. Now, they mentioned that they have these monitors. You remember that when they first came out and said they had these monitors that were watching for any violations, it often ended up being, and this is according to some of their own sources because they didn't really want it to get out, but some on the inside has said, people who had nothing else to do, they said, I'll be a monitor. Okay, are you leaning left or right? Well, I can tell by the way you're standing, you must be leaning left. You'll be a perfect monitor. In other words, they were not looking for an unbiased monitor. They wanted to continue to push their issue. So one of the little ones that on 60 Minutes Leslie Stahl was questioning was Kate Starbird and her background.
We were very specifically looking at misinformation about election processes, procedures, and election results. And if we saw something about that, we would pass it along to the platforms if we thought it violated their one of their policies.
Here's an example. A November 2020 tweet saying that election software in Michigan switched 6,000 votes from Trump to Biden. The researchers alerted Twitter that then decided to label it with a warning.
I understand that some of the researchers, including you, have had some threats against them, death threats.
I have received one. Sometimes there are threats with something behind them, and sometimes they're just there to make you nervous and uncomfortable, and it's hard to know the difference.
This campaign against you is meant to discredit you, so we won't believe you.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that the people that pushed voter fraud lies are some of the same people that are trying to discredit researchers that are trying to understand the problem.
Now, again, Kate Starbird is a professor at the University of Washington, so obviously she's learned, but was she already looking at this with a critical eye or a leftist eye? Leslie Stahl continued speaking with Congressman Jordan of Ohio. But before that, she raised again the question with Starbird. You just said you identify the problem. What happens then?
Did your research find that there was more misinformation spread by conservatives?
Absolutely. I think not just our research, research across the board looking at the 2020 election found that there was more misinformation spread by people that were supporters of Donald Trump or conservatives. And the events of January 6th kind of underscore this.
USA!
The folks climbing up the Capitol building were supporters of Donald Trump, and they were misinformed by these false claims, and that motivated those actions.
This is wrong. We know it's wrong, and it's about protecting the First Amendment.
Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan is chairman of the House Judiciary Committee.
So how big a problem is mis- and disinformation on the web?
Well, I'm sure there's some, but I think, you know, our concern is the bigger problem of the attack on First Amendment liberties.
Yeah, that's a very big one. You attack our First Amendment liberties. And Congressman Jordan continued.
A great example, 36 hours into the Biden administration, the Biden White House sends a email to Twitter and says, we think you should take down this tweet ASAP.
Just a call alone from the government, he says, can be unnerving.
You can't have the government say, hey, we want you to do X. Government, who has the ability to regulate these private companies, government which has the ability to tax these private companies.
He says that White House email to Twitter involved a tweet from
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and everything in the tweet was true.
That tweet implied falsely that baseball legend Hank Aaron's death was caused by the COVID vaccine.
Did they take it down?
Turned out they didn't. Thank goodness.
And that post is still up.
Well, you know, you can find a lot of different posts, and you've probably been exposed to them yourselves as to when you got censored. But it's the issue, again, of First Amendment rights. And to that extent, back to Kate Starbird, she said, when we would send this information and our concerns to Big Tech, she wants you to believe that they never really responded effectively. Really?
The statistics I've seen are just for the Twitter platform, but my understanding is that they responded to about 30% of the things that we sent them. And I think on the majority of those, they put labels.
But just a third?
But just a third, yeah.
And do you suspect that Facebook was the same?
Yeah.
These platforms have their own First Amendment rights.
Katie Harbath spent a decade at Facebook, where she helped develop its policies around election misinformation. When she was there, she says it was not unusual for the government to ask Facebook to remove content, which is proper as long as the government is not coercing.
Conservatives are alleging that the platforms were taking down content at the behest of the government, which is not true. The platforms made their own decisions, and many times we were pushing back on the government.
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. And when they say, well, there's no coercion, if you get a call from the FBI or any government agency and saying, you know, what you've got out there, that might not be exactly right. Maybe you need to reconsider. You get the drift. They don't need to hold a gun to your head. Congressman Jordan.
I think you let the American people respect the American people, their common sense, to figure out what's accurate, what isn't.
Well, what about this idea that the 2020 election was stolen? You think that these companies should allow people to say that, and individuals can make up their own mind, and that there should be...
I think the American people are smart. Look, I've not said that. What I've said is there were concerns about the 2020 election. I think Americans agree with that.
No, they don't.
You don't think they think there were concerns with the 2020 election?
Most people don't question the result.
Oh, come on. Leslie Stahl, you cannot be that far out. Oh, well, maybe you can. There are a lot of people, many, who question the election. They don't have to say that it was stolen. They don't have to say it was rigged, but they have a lot of questions about that presidential election and things leading up to it and information being suppressed across the big tech companies and in turn to print media like the New York Times, the Hunter Biden laptop story, buried. Network News buried it. So they're trying to make out that the big tech companies, they're still doing a good job, and they're not really trying to steal or set things up. They're just doing their job to protect you from information that might be wrong. I'm going to go with Congressman Jordan. I think you're going to be smart enough to figure it out. If you're not, you're going to need help. But I will tell you this. Lately, I've been having to operate off of a temporary computer, and it only has Microsoft as its search engine. And I cannot find a lot of material I can get on my phone because it's not going to give that material to me. I wonder why. Coming up, NBC politicizing Bible education for your children. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on. There's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire has been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA. So as I mentioned going to break, NBC News recently was making an effort to basically politicize Bible education for your kids. I mean, how low are they going to go? They have no shame, so there's no low that they can reach, in my view. But let's break it down for you in more detail. And joining us now is Joel Penton. He is a CEO of Likewise. Joel, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You might first begin by explaining what Likewise is and Likewise Academy.
Yes, Likewise provides Bible education for public school students during school hours. And so what few people realize is that the Supreme Court has ruled that public school students can, in fact, receive Bible education during the school day if it's off-school property, privately funded, and students have parental permission. And so we provide a program that any community can implement. We take kids out off the school grounds. We teach them Bible lesson. We take them back as part of their normal school day. We started about 5 years ago, and we're currently serving over 300 schools, over 30,000 students across 15 states.
Now, of course, if you're teaching the Bible then, you're teaching Christianity. I assume you're also teaching all of the Bible, the Old Testament as well.
That's exactly right. In fact, we teach students, we usually work with elementary age students. We teach them through the whole Bible, Genesis through Revelation, over 5 years, grades 1 through 5. And yep, so we teach Old and New Testament, but every week we aren't talking about Jesus, so we're talking about the gospel.
And of course, tomorrow being Good Friday and then followed by Sunday, Easter Sunday, I was explaining to one of my younger grandchildren the other day, that he said, why do they call it Good Friday? And I said, well, it's the last curtain that was ripped apart, obviously, separating us from God, so we didn't have to make numerous animal sacrifices, things of that nature, and walk by the Jewish code laid down that with no way we would be able to honor it. But more importantly, we can't live without sin anyway, and Jesus Christ, in believing in him, gives you a new life. Now, that stated, NBC decided to take this whole issue and politicize it. In what way?
Well, you know, they reached out to us, said they heard about our program. They wanted to feature it, and so we invited them in. They brought their cameras and reporters, and we brought them into our classroom. And, you know, they did report, and they did an article online that has gotten quite a bit of attention, but they left out some of the most important stuff. They left.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they you know, told us they really wanted to know about the program, and what people often care about, especially schools we work with, is what are the results. And we can show data on the results that school attendance goes up, behavior improves, that schools benefit. And they didn't include any of that. Instead, they did, as you said, politicize it. You know, they, I guess, did research on donors of ours, and if there were, you know, a donor that supported political causes as well as Christian causes, that according to them means we must be political. And it's just too bad, because it's such a positive program and having such a positive impact, to make it political.
And what would be their value to taking your program and finding flaws and wrong things with it? I mean, it's not like malfeasance or stealing or scamming. They're just saying that the program is what? Ineffective or shouldn't be out there at all? What was their conclusion?
Well, they didn't necessarily propose a conclusion, but they gave, you know, they quoted people who, I guess, are bothered by kids learning the Bible. It's almost hard to understand, because some of the things that they pointed to were, frankly, they were silly. Like, people were concerned that the kids who attend our program all wear the same T-shirt on the day of the program, that they think the kids wearing the same T-shirt maybe might make the other kids who aren't Christians feel left out or something. And it's like, are we really talking about this? I mean,
you're inviting all kids, and the parents are aware of it. It's not like you're doing some kind of cult and not telling them what's happening, correct?
Oh, certainly. I mean, every student, parental permission is required. Everyone's welcome, regardless of background, regardless of politics. All can come. And if you don't want to come, that's quite all right. You don't have to come.
But NBC, when they first called you and offered the invitation and say, we want to do a story on you, did you jump immediately and say, great? Or did you say, we need to be careful here?
Well, we figured we would need to be careful, and we did some research on who was doing the reporting, and as we kind of suspected, we didn't get the impression we would necessarily be treated completely fairly, but we thought, you know what, if we invite them in and we show them the classroom and they see the kids and they see that what's being taught is the Bible, it's the gospel, it's very wholesome. Who wouldn't want kids learning about God's love? Who wouldn't want kids learning about
kindness? Well, just learning morals. Let's and I'm a Christian, but let's put aside the Bible's the base for it, and Moses' Ten Commandments at the heart of it as well. But just putting all of it aside, I know a lot of people that they're not Christian, they're not Jewish, they really don't think they are religious at all in any way, but they have a moral code and a moral compass, and that's lacking with a lot of kids right now.
Well, it absolutely is, and that's what we did a nationwide survey, a nationwide poll, the scientific poll that showed that the overwhelming number of Americans believe that behavior is getting worse in public schools. Public school teachers need help. Kids need moral and character education, and that is, in fact, what we're providing. As we teach kids the Bible and we teach them about the gospel, we teach them how the gospel transforms lives and how as we serve God, our character improves. And so it is somewhat perplexing to wonder why you wouldn't want that message to as many kids as possible about how to become a better person.
A better person. I'm glad you said it that way, as opposed to being a better Christian, because that's where some would have some difference. But a better person, that's what we want around us. You're listening to Joel Penton, the CEO of Likewise Academy. Now, what do you do reference parts of the Bible, or do you even get into these, over the issues of homosexuality, bestiality, things of that nature? Or these kids are too young, I would imagine, in many cases.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's not part of our curriculum. We're teaching kids the basic Bible stories. We're teaching them the gospel. We certainly have a code of conduct for our staff that would align with traditional Christian values, and so, you know, we are a Christian organization, but again, we're teaching kids the basic Bible stories, you know, starting in Genesis, and teach them about creation and teach them about Jesus.
You obviously went against the flow and the push from the woke crowd, because if you're talking about Adam and Eve, you're only talking about two genders. Come on, Joel. You know right there you started an issue.
Well, then that is true. We are teaching the Bible story as it stands, which is that God created, well, for one, even just saying God created people.
Right,
controversial these days. Again, it's what we've been teaching our children for hundreds of years, but all of a sudden it's controversial to teach kids basic Bible stories that used to be common knowledge, now gets backlash.
Now, what do you think, and how they might have approached, and this has to be speculation because we don't know if they do it. I know of a couple of, quote, Islamic schools that are not Islamic schools, but they have after-school programs or things of that nature for kids who are learning about the Muslim faith.
Well, that's exactly right. And we operate under something called released time religious instruction. That's the legal term. And it is.
Would you say that again? What's the term again?
Well, the legal term is released time religious instruction, because kids are released from school during school hours.
Okay.
To do it. And, but you're right. It's not strictly for Christians. I mean, any faith could have their own program. Our program, of course, is a Christian program, but, that comes up a lot. You know, people will say, well, what if the Muslim community wants to do it? Then we say, well, go ahead. You know, our program isn't mandatory, and it's not, there's nothing restricting anyone else.
So their objection is the fact, to nail it down, you exist.
Right. And what people will often say, they'll speak as though those hours of the school day belong to the state. They belong to the government. No one should
not the parents. Go ahead.
Them.
Go ahead.
And yes, and that really is where it comes to, is that our program gives parents an opportunity to install Bible education into their children's educational school day. And there's a lot of people that do not think parents should be allowed to do that. That the state knows better, the school knows better, and most of our kids, you know, they'll be pulled out for lunch and recess time, and they'll say, no, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And so,
well, very quickly, since we're coming up on Easter, a lot of kids, sure, there used to be, quote, Easter break. Now they just call it spring break. And my girls, we had a lot of Jewish friends, and they were out of school a lot more than Christian kids were for various religious holidays. Not complaining, just saying that was a fact. Well, I want to thank you again, Joel Penton, the CEO of Likewise Academy. At least you got something out positive, I hope. And we thank you. It's also, you bet, it's the difference between NBC calling and CBS 60 Minutes at your front door. You know that's going to be bad. More on that story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And this first story we're going to begin with in this closing segment. And again, thank you as always for joining us and letting others know about the program as well. I truly, truly appreciate it. This first item is not surprising, and yet I want to make sure it gets reported. And that is former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, Republican in name only, Rhino, Wyoming, said it's critical that President Trump's federal election interference case goes to trial before voters select their next president in November. As she called on the Supreme Court, you're saying this: it cannot be the case that a president of the United States can attempt to overturn an election, seize power, and that our justice system is incapable of holding a trial and holding to account before the next election. That cannot be the case. It is true the Trump legal team, like any legal team, seeks new, which may I take a moment to diverge, that would include the Biden, Hunter, and Joe Biden legal teams, seek any delays they can. But they have sought numerous delays on behalf of Trump in each of his four criminal cases, citing various factors. The federal election interference case, which some believe is the most important resolve before November, is currently on hold until the Supreme Court rules on Trump's claim that he should be immune from criminal prosecution for all actions taken while in office. The case is scheduled to be heard April the 25th. Now, a ruling would come out maybe very quickly on this particular case. Normally, rulings from the court, high court, don't come out until June or July, but some they expedite for obvious reasons. Be whichever side they decide, they choose, they need to allow time for appeal if you're really trying to get things done in an expeditious manner. Cheney, of course, is one of two Republicans, who served on what they want to blast across the Facebook and everywhere for everyone to understand. It was a bipartisan commission. No, you had Liz Cheney, who was not really a Republican, and then you had the Illinois congressman, Kensinger. They were the only two. When the Republicans tried to say, well, here's what we want to put on, Jim Jordan and Trey Gowdy and others like that, no. Nancy wouldn't let them get on because she didn't want a real bipartisan. She wanted think-alike Republicans. But Cheney even served as vice chair so they can say, look, we gave a Republican a high position. No, you gave a Mickey Mouse copycat a House committee chair. But again, back to her statements. The president of the United States attempting to overturn an election. They were demanding a closer look, and yes, they had to interfere the Electoral College process, but then adding to seize power. There was no effort to seize power. To them, it's still an insurrection, and it will be. And, of course, I have condemned it for being carried out at all. I think Trump should have taken a more direct action to put an end to it once it started. But you can't take him down the street delivering an address and then telling them, go to the Capitol peacefully and make your voices heard. That is not saying go down there and tear it apart, capture our enemies, and grab control of the government. It's a far cry. And yet the same ones who say just the fact that he suggested go to the Capitol, make your voices heard, they want to think that coerced, encouraged the crowd to do that, but they won't accept the words. Then big tech gets a call from the FBI. Hey, we don't like what you got up there. Could you change it, move it around? And they decide to do it. And they see there is no coercion. They got the power and the weight behind them. There certainly is. We're going to get into that again before we wrap up here, because this Leslie Stahl piece from 60 Minutes the other day, they raised the issue of threats against those who were supposedly trying to help the big tech companies stay on top of what's real and what isn't. But before we go down that road, Senator Mike Johnson and House Republicans now informing Chuck Schumer in a letter today, they will be sending impeachment charges, two of them, against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate on, are you ready, April 10. House Republicans accusing Mayorkas of high crimes and misdemeanors, including willful systemic refusal to comply with the law and his breach of public trust. So these charges will arrive in the upper chamber after all senators return from a two-week Easter recess. The move now will force the Senate to take up the matter, at least officially. Schumer then can decide whether they're going to hold a full trial on the Senate floor. I wouldn't hold my breath for that one, because he could also vote to dismiss the charges immediately, or he could kick the can down the road and refer to a special evidentiary committee. I wonder if Liz Cheney would like him doing that. Well, shouldn't we have justice before the next election? Oh, that's right. This would involve Mayorkas. But Johnson in the letter, again, Mike Johnson of the House leadership, in his letter, also signed by House Homeland Security Committee Chair Mark Green, Republican of Tennessee, House Affairs Committee Chair and Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas, the letter states, we urge you to schedule a trial of the matter expeditiously. The evidence on both charges is clear, comprehensive, compelling, and the House's solemn act to impeach the first sitting cabinet official in American history demands timely action by the Senate. And the charges require a vote by two-thirds of the Senate, of course, to convict Mayorkas and remove him from office. And there's where it's going to die in the water. Even if Schumer puts it in front of the Senate with the makeup of the Senate currently, Democrats control the Senate. And if it came to a tie vote, which it won't, that wouldn't be enough to make it happen anyway. But even if it did, then you got Vice President Harris casting the deciding vote. She won't be needed. The letter continues in the statement, if Schumer cares about the Constitution and ending the devastation caused by Biden's border catastrophe, Senator Schumer will quickly schedule a public trial, hear the arguments put forth by our impeachment managers. Now, it's just, of course, last month, the 13th, that the House did vote to impeach Mayorkas on two charges, but it was a close vote. This again shows you that you can't count on all the Republicans to remain in line. 214 to 213. A vote on the House floor earlier had actually failed 214 to 216. So we had three Republicans join the Democrats. Two of them are leaving. One left last Friday, Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado. He's out. He said, I'm not going to continue to fulfill. I'm done because of the way this has been handled since 2020 by my party and disputing the election and what took place January 6th. Mike Gallagher, Republican of Wisconsin, says, well, I'm going to hang around through the end of April. You know why? Well, because figured the timetable out. Hey, I'll be here so I can cast a vote if needed again. But he's in the House. If it's all turned over to the Senate, he won't have a vote there. And you have Tom McClintock, Republican of California. So these three House Republicans, when it actually came to a vote for the actual impeachment, they chose their direction, and here we are. But, of course, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary under his office was quick to issue a statement. House Republicans will be remembered by history for trampling on the Constitution for political gain. I don't know how they could even find those words to say or put in print, political gain, when that's been the whole game of the Democrats by having open borders, political gain. But they say House Republicans will be remembered by history for trampling on the Constitution for political gain rather than working to solve the serious challenges at our border. We did not have serious challenges at our border until Biden said, border's open, come on in. Look at the timeline. It goes on in their statement from the Homeland Security, say, without a shred of evidence or legitimate constitutional grounds, despite bipartisan opposition, House Republicans falsely smeared a dedicated public servant who spent more than 20 years enforcing our laws and serving our country. We'll give him a medal and then show him the door. Schumer so far has not said what he's going to do now that he's gotten the letter, but previously had criticized all of it as a sham, not worth of my time. In the previous part of this final hour, we were replaying part of the 60 Minutes interview that Leslie Stahl had done with supposedly defenders of democracy working with big tech companies to make sure that things, especially concerning elections, didn't get onto their Facebook, Twitter, big tech pages. If they were, they should be ripped off and are labeled as such. But Leslie Stahl then entered into a part of the conversation where this one supposed monitor for these, some of the tech companies, Kate Starbird, a professor at the University of Washington, started saying, well, yeah, we were facing every time we came up with something we thought needed to be removed or something that had to be labeled, we got threats.
There are people who make the accusation that going after these researchers, misinformation researchers, is tantamount to harassment, and that your goal really is to chill the research.
I find that it interesting you use the word chill because, in effect, what they're doing is chilling First Amendment free speech rights. When they're working in an effort to censor Americans, that's a chilling impact on speech.
They say what you're doing, they do, is a violation of their First Amendment rights.
So us pointing out, us doing our constitutional duty of oversight of the executive branch, and somehow we're censoring, that makes no sense to me.
We, Americans, we're looking at the same thing and seeing a different truth.
Well, you might see different things. I don't think you can see a different truth because truth is truth.
Okay. The researchers say they're being chilled. That's their truth.
Yeah.
You're saying they're not. So what's the truth?
They can do their research. God bless them. Do all the research you want. Don't say we think this particular tweet is not true and are.
Well, that's their First Amendment right to say that.
They can say it, but they can't take it down.
Well, they can't take it down, and they don't. They just send their information to the companies.
But when they're coordinating with government, that's a different animal.
Congressman Jim Jordan responding to the complaint by Kate Birdsong that, well, whenever we send out word, things need to be taken down, we start getting threats. I'm against threatening anyone for something like that. But as they said, there's still their effort to chill the speech, and how the, ironically they want to turn it around saying, but the fact that you don't like what we're saying, that chills our speech. Doesn't carry the same weight, nor the real threat. I'm looking at a story that, because this involves a police officer's death, the New York Police Department's Sergeant's Benevolent Association is calling out for leftist Democrats in New York City who don't want to be involved in police funding and protection for you and your family, their family, but not you. They've been defunding the police lawmakers for some time. But when a police officer got shot and killed the other day, then several of them, as according to one way it's written, and I agree, shed on social media crocodile tears because the officer was killed. But the key point for me here, and I like the fact that he's taking this stand, the New York Police Department Sergeant's Union official, Jonathan Diller, telling woke Democrats, just stay away from the funeral. You're not wanted because you come here with your crocodile tears. Otherwise, you'd be fighting for more police and backing them instead of shooting them in the back. This is, of course, Easter weekend. Friday is Good Friday tomorrow. And then Sunday, he is risen. Take time with your kids. Go over the story that is more than just Easter bunnies and egg hunting. If you're a Christian, even Jews do it as well. But even if you don't want to accept either religion, just recognize what it means to that faith. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.